111. Marcus. Bardeen was a pot that had already boiled over, and as he galloped down the muddy road to Hydrilla, passing patrol after patrol, Marcus saw endless signs of the violence that had come as a result. Violence that, once upon a time, he had predicted would come. Bodies of Bardenese rebels left where they'd fallen and turned a grotesque purplish black, blood in pools around them. And Marcus knew that the only reason there wasn't Legion dead surrounding them was because the Legions buried their own. It took him close to a day to make the journey to Hydrilla, the fortress city that he and the 37th had defeated what felt like a lifetime ago. His eyes took in the familiar ramparts, the echoes of catapults and drums and screams filling his ears, and an old guilt bit at his stomach. But it wasn't to the fortress he went, but rather to the ground that had once held the camp the 37th had shared with the 29th, to the worn path leading to a bridge that had once stretched across a violent river of water. But now the ground beneath was nothing but rocks and mud, the river rerouted by a thick dike. Sturdy walls made of Bardenese redwoods surrounded the spot where the river had flown over its falls, mounds of dirt still piled outside from the excavation, and at the base of the hole they'd dug was the Xenthier that would take him back to Erinoquia, that would take him back to the 37th. He was so close. Dismounting, he abandoned the exhausted horse, walking on wobbling knees toward the men posted outside the gate. They saluted, their eyebrows rising at the sight of the number on his chest. "This stem has been mapped," he said to them. "It leads across to the dark shores where the 37th and 41st have established themselves. I wish to inspect the stem's position, for it will soon be supplying us."
"Yes, sir,"
the centurion said, fumbling with the lock, which was already rusting from the damp. And that was when Marcus heard a commotion in the distance. His head, as well as those of the soldiers before him, turned, eyes going immediately to the group of men sprinting in their direction, weapons in hand. On their breastplates, he could just make out a 29.
"What's this all about?"
the centurion muttered. "Not my concern." Marcus stepped into his line of sight. "Now get the lock open." Frowning, the man twisted hard on the key, the lock popping open with an audible click.
"Stop him!"
Shouts from the 29th men filtered up to them, and the centurion's eyes widened.
"Apologies, sir, but perhaps..."
Marcus shoved the man out of the way. Shouts of alarm filled his ears, but he ignored them, pushing open the gate and then slamming it shut. Catching hold of a piece of lumber, he braced it against the gate, knowing he was buying himself only seconds. Ahead, a dark pit loomed, ropes anchored to posts dangling into its depths. He raced toward it even as wood splintered behind him.
"Stop, sir!"
someone shouted.
"They say it's not safe!"
Lies, especially given that hesitation would cost him his life. He slid to a stop, his stomach flipping as he gazed into the blackness, unable to see the bottom. "You've been through the teeth. You can do this." And if he didn't, he was dead. Catching hold of one of the ropes, Marcus swung over the edge, his feet scrambling against the wet earth as he lowered himself down into the darkness. Down and down. The stream had carved the path, but though it had been since widened by human hands, it felt too narrow, too close. Like he was climbing down into the underworld Tariana so feared.
"Pull him back up!"
He was rising. Men hauling on the rope, dragging him back to the surface. No, he had come too far, and too much depended on his success. So Marcus let go. Air whistled past his ears, and he tried to slow his descent by dragging his arms against the walls, roots and rocks cutting into his arms and hands. Then his feet struck the ground, the impact twisting one of his ankles and rattling his spine. Ignoring the pain, he dropped to his knees, feeling the walls for an opening. There. It was a narrow tunnel that sloped downwards, and he crawled into it, trusting it would take him where he needed to go, trying not to imagine being buried alive down here. He could see nothing, could hear nothing, though he had no doubt that the 29th still pursued. He had to hurry. Sweat poured down his face and into his eyes, and Marcus blinked, realizing he could now faintly see. The glow of a Xenthier stem. It had to be. but a faint draft that stank of male sweat drifted past him. Hurry. Heart pounding, he crawled forward, rounding a slight bend. And then it was there. Glittering crystal that was equal parts alluring and terrifying. What if this isn't the one? His terror whispered. What if they made an error in the codes? This could take you anywhere. A hand closed around his ankle, hauling him backward. Shouting, Marcus kicked hard, whoever it was behind him cursing in pain as his foot connected. Go. Scrambling, Marcus reached forward and closed his hand over the stem, bracing himself. The world turned white, and all around him was nothingness. And it seemed to go on forever, as though he'd been lost in some in-between space. Marcus screamed, but there was no sound. There was nothing.
Oof.
He landed on his back with a thud, but before he could orient himself, nausea took hold, offering him barely enough time to roll before his guts rose. He dug his fingers into the cut stone beneath him, stomach heaving, the world spinning, and he had only the briefest moment to note that the air smelled of jungle before everything went dark.